I fell asleep in the car. I was just sitting in the back seat by myself, and so I fell asleep, and I woke up, and I was like, man, are we still driving? And I looked down at my cell phone and saw what time it was, and I was like, oh, man, like, we've been in the car for, like, an hour. And she's like, yeah, we're about 20 minutes away. And I'm thinking, 20 more minutes away? And so when we got north of Cedar Rapids a ways, I, again, was kind of sitting there thinking, man, I should probably let somebody know, like, what's going on. And so I realized at that point it was too late. Like, my cell phone didn't have service anymore.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Matt Logan Music Podcast. I apologize that it's taken me so long to get this one out. And I apologize to Joe, who is my guest in this podcast, that it's taken so long. I'm going to blame it on my mother. Which is the very grown-up thing to do. She visited from Iowa and, kind of took up a lot of my time there. And you know what? No excuses. I could have gotten it done. I could have finished it, could have gotten it out, but I didn't. So it's coming now. Better late than never, right? Joe is a dear friend of mine. We've known each other for many years, and we've played in bands together. And now he is the, he's one of the hosts of a show, a sports radio show, ESPN Radio, in Omaha, Nebraska. And so it was fun getting to catch up with him and hear what he's up to musically, what he's listening to musically, and also just recount some of our stories from when we were gigging together in the Midwest, I don't know, probably 10 years ago now. Wow. So anyway, give it a listen. I also threw some music in there if you want to hear what kind of music we were making back then. I think Joe and I would both say that we've grown musically since then, but you know what? Some of it was some pretty fun stuff, so stay tuned and listen for that. And also, if you think of it, and if you would like to, consider rating this podcast on iTunes, because that helps me become a little bit more visible, and then I can get, I might be able to get some really cool guests. Not saying Joe isn't cool. He's very cool. Not saying that the guests before aren't cool. They are super, super cool. And I just want to get more people like them. So if you can take a second to drop in a review, I would hugely appreciate it. I'll be adding some more stuff to the blog at mattloganmusic.com, and that's also where you can find this podcast if you don't want to listen on iTunes. And I heard that there's some podcast archive for Android users, and I'll try to figure that out and get that up as well so that everybody can access this. And it's so cool because it's free. It's so accessible. Yeah, that's pretty rad. So anyway, enjoy this episode of the Matt Logan Music Podcast, and I will see you soon. What's up, Joe?
Nothing, man.
Thanks for coming on the Matt Logan Music Show, or podcast, or whatever it is. It's not really a show. You're the Joe Quinn Show, though.
Yeah. Once upon a time, man. Way back in the day. You know, I remember, like, how much time and effort went into putting that, like, nightly show together, because it was, like, just little teeny pieces all, like, flowing, you know. You had to put them all in, like, the right order, and if something wasn't labeled right, then it would, like, miss, and you ended up playing, like, the same song, like, over and over and over and over again.
So, right.
Much easier now than what it used to be.
That's nice. So you and I go way back, obviously. Well, obviously to us, but anybody who's tuning into this, they may or may not know you. You are the voice of ESPN 590?
Yeah, that's right. In Omaha, Nebraska.
Omaha, Nebraska. Sports announcer.
Do a show from 2 to 6 every day talking sports. A lot of Huskers, obviously, being here in Nebraska. It's kind of like, you live in the Bay Area, obviously. You know all about the Warriors and how everybody's kind of really latched onto that. Well, just imagine that times like 50, and that's the passion here for Nebraska football. So
that, but with crazy people.
Yeah, well, I mean, there are some that certainly go over the edge. I mean, the thing is, like, every fan base, right? It doesn't matter who it is necessarily. Like, you're going to have the people that are way, way into it, and then you're going to have the more casual fans. And
right.
It's always, like, it's the people that are, the really fanatical ones that always define the fan base.
Yeah.
So they're definitely passionate, man. There's no doubt about it.
They are. How's the show going?
It's good, man. You know, this will be about 2.5 years we've been on now. So, when I first started, I didn't know my co-host Nick at all. Like, we literally had met for like a weekend.
Wow.
And so I think for the first really like 6 months, when you do something you know, that collaborative for that amount of time every day. It's sort of a feeling out process, but
Sure.
once you kind of get to know each other and, you know, at a personal level, but also know, you know, kind of the quirks of the other person, the ins and outs, you know, just how they carry themselves, you know, when they do a talk show, then it really kind of starts to smooth out. And
Sure,
really,
sure.
You know, after about a year, then is when you really start to build good continuity together. And then you can start to kind of just fine tune things. And now that we've been together for 2.5 years, you know, it's almost one of those deals where, you know, we just can kind of anticipate where the other person is going, like what they're thinking. And so I think it's really over the last year and a half or so, really everything is smoothed out and we're just rolling now, man.
We're just rolling now. Now it's easy peasy. You got the ESP stuff happening.
Almost. Not quite there yet. I'm working on that. And if I can find the technology, we'll patent it and we'll make millions of dollars. But, you know, one step at a time, right?
Then you guys can take your talents to South Beach.
Yeah, right? Pull the old LeBron James. I like it.
There you go. They can do a whole show about you. Where will Joe and Nick go?
That's right.
Or maybe you want to stay. Maybe you want to stay in Omaha. I mean, you are building a house there.
That's true. We're building a house here. And, you know, Omaha's a good place. Like, it's one of those towns that I think a lot of people, you know, it's kind of one of the flyover towns, right?
Yeah.
You know, sort of like Des Moines, where you and I are from, obviously.
Yeah.
But once you actually get here and dig into it, you realize that it's just a really nice Midwestern city that has everything that you would really want or everything that you would really need. You know, the thing that obviously separates it, I think, most from a big city is, you know, everything is still spread out here for the most part. So everybody drives every place. You know, there's not a lot of, you know, walking or not a lot of public transit or anything like that. But as far as like Midwestern cities go, you know, Omaha, Kansas City, Des Moines, if you like the Midwestern lifestyle, like Omaha is a great place to live.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, because you got the mountains, you got the beach, you got the...
Yeah, well, okay, you don't have any of that, too. I mean, there is that, but still. Mountains are about 5 hours away in Colorado. Beach.
Yeah. Oh, there's the river.
You got lakes.
You got the Missouri River right there.
Yeah. I don't know if I want to go swimming in the river here or not, but...
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, that is true. There is not much of that, so...
No, I'm just teasing, man. It's a good spot. I know it is. I got family in Omaha. I got... In fact, my cousin's out there. Have you seen him recently?
I have not, although, so he works for the University of Nebraska, Omaha,
mm-hmm.
and I think he does tickets still is what he does. And man, their hockey team went to the Frozen Four last year, and they just built a brand new arena kind of in the Midtown area. So it is like UNO hockey has exploded over like the last 2 years. So
nice.
I'm sure for him, it's very, very exciting to be a part of that.
Yeah, right on. You are you doing any plan?
You know, I do. Unfortunately, like you said, I'm building a house right now, so I don't have my drums or anything here. So when I get back to Des Moines, where mom and dad still live, I'll play a little bit. But I actually, my sister-in-law lent me her acoustic guitar. And
there
so
we
for
go.
The last, I don't know, 8 or 9 months, I've been playing, you know, once or twice a week, just trying to kind of learn on that. And really, the biggest thing for me right now is just, you know, I just pick up tunes from the 80s, 90s, whatever, just stuff that's easy to play, you know, fun to sing. It's just more for like, you know, personal enjoyment than anything.
Yeah, we can play a little bit of Name That Tune.
Okay, all right.
Ready?
Yep. A little Journey, very fitting for San Francisco.
Okay, you got that one.
Yep, Don't Stop Believing.
Yeah, there we go. Your turn.
I didn't come prepared, man. Proud Mary, CCR.
There we go. Okay.
Now, are you a bigger fan of like the Tina Turner version of that, or are you more like the old school like CCR fan?
Give me the Tina Turner version every time. Wow. Yeah, man. Give me the Tina Turner. No, I like both. You gotta love CCR. And I think they are also Bay Area, right? I believe they're from
That's a good question. I don't know. I'm not
Berkeley
sure.
Area. So I don't know. Maybe we can do some more of that later. Man, we made a lot of music together.
Yeah, we did, man. And thinking back, like, so I think if I can remember correctly, the first time we like actually like played in front of people as a group, it was like somebody's like basement, right?
Oh, probably.
Like one of our one of our friends' basements, like after a football game or something, and
Was
one of the
it?
guys that we were playing with didn't show up, like just totally blew it off.
Who was
So
that? That had to have been. Was that Patrick?
I think it was Matt Sampson, actually.
Oh, Matt. Oh, you dropped the last name.
Yeah, I did.
That's
I
fine.
know he's. But anyway,
And he just
yeah,
didn't
he
show.
was.
That's right. Oh, yeah. Now
Yeah,
I
I mean.
remember that. It was at Boris's house.
Yeah, I don't think it was like anything malicious. I just think
No.
like he just either, you know, just like forgot about it
I
or
think
what.
maybe he
But
had butterflies.
yeah, there you go. He left that
Yes.
bass amp in my basement for like 2 years. You remember that?
What kind of
He had
bass amp
the.
was it?
It was like I think it was either a Fend. I think it was just a little Fender bass amp, and it had he had rolled the hemp, like yarn around the handle.
Oh, yeah. Yep. All right, we're going to take a little break from the conversation, and I'm going to play a song that Joe and I worked on many years ago. It's called Let It Go. And yes, I wrote it before the song from Frozen. And although I've played that one many times as well because of my role as a music therapist at a children's hospital, this is the original, although I'm sure there were songs called Let It Go before this one. But go ahead and take a listen. This is from probably, oh, it's well over 10 years ago. So here it is, Let It Go.
Beauty show. But yeah, man, it was, you know, going from playing like in people's basements and then to like playing, I'm trying to think the very first gig that we ever played where we actually made any money.
Yeah, what and, was that? Do you think it was,
boy,
you know, we did some school dances and stuff.
We did some school dances. I think it had to have been like for a church youth group or something, where you know they would pay.
Oh,
like,
we I think we played at Sacred Heart.
We yeah, and it was like one of those little like $75, you know,
entertainment
deals where they could either like hire a DJ or they could hire a band. So I remember the first like, I think the first, I don't want to call it like professional spot, but like the first like public like place that we played, man, it had to be in Iowa City, right?
Well, I mean, do you count the prom that we did? The after prom?
Was the prom before we started playing bars and stuff in Iowa City?
I think so. Wasn't I still in high school?
Because
Tommy was singing with us. Do you remember we found that palette of Tecate
Modelo Light beer?
We found a palette of Modelo Light like under the stage or something.
Yeah, and that was a high school dance. That was like a straight up high school.
Dance, and we had a green room. And I think I was in high school, and we grabbed a few of those.
Oh man. Yeah, and at the time I didn't like drink beer like at all, so I was like, "Oh man, you guys go nuts!" I was still like in my vodka and water.
Give me my coconut rum.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
and Mountain Dew. Oh man, yeah. This guy. I'm talking to anybody who might be listening to this now. This guy used to wake up in the frat house, and grab a Mountain Dew and a handful of peanut M&Ms, and that was his breakfast.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Diet Mountain Dew and M&Ms, and like that, I did that for like an entire semester, man. I mean, looking back now, so looking back now, right? So I'm doing, I'm a CrossFit athlete here in Omaha. And so one of the things that my gym is doing is they're doing like a precision nutrition deal, right? Where it's like a really strict, you know, eat right, like eat like six times a day kind of thing, small meals.
Right.
And one of the things that they talk about is like, they don't want you to have like any added sugar to anything or any artificial sweeteners. And I'm like, man, I have come a long way eating a handful of M&Ms and Diet Mountain Dew.
Yep.
Like, you know, before I went to class in the morning.
Oh, but God. Wouldn't even shower.
Just
a handful of M&Ms and a Diet Mountain Dew.
And this was like a struggle to get to a class at like 9:30 in the morning. I mean, this wasn't like a 7 a.m. class or anything, you know?
Man. By 9:30, your dad's been up for like 10 hours.
Yeah, and he still does that, by the way. Like, he gets to work at 4 a.m. every day. Like, he'll get up at like 2:45, so I don't know how in the world he does it.
Jeez. How does he do it?
you know, I don't know.
Does he sleep all afternoon? The thing is,
he usually will come home in the afternoon, and he'll take a nap. But, I mean, he works from, say, like 4 a.m. until like noon, 1 o'clock, and then typically he's done for the day, but man, like, one of the things that he always says is that if you get up that early, like, you never really get used to it, right? I mean, you would think, like, you start a new job and you have to be there at, say, 7, you're getting up at, like, 5:45. After a while, like, you get used to it. Like, it sucks, but you get used to it. Well, when you're getting up to be at work at 4, like, literally you're getting up in the middle of the night and you never get used to it because, you know, eventually, you know, depending on where you live, you know, the sun will be out at 6 a.m. and you feel like the day is starting. Like, it doesn't matter where you live, unless you're living in, like, Alaska or something, where, you know, where there is no, like, it's either dark all day or it's light all day. Getting up in the middle of the night, apparently, you just never get used to. So.
No, hopefully we'll never have to.
Yeah, right? No kidding.
Jeez. So we played the prom.
Yep.
You were subsisting on M&Ms.
So we played the prom, and I was thinking about that gig the other day because, you know, looking back, like we have a good friend, I should say, who DJs a lot of high school dances and stuff, and I help him out from time to time, and, you know, it's basically you go from, you know, season to season, but, you know, if you do a homecoming every weekend, say, for a year, I mean, it's basically the same stuff every school because kids like the same things. And I was trying to think back at some of the songs that we played because, I mean, if you think about, you know, what is, I don't want to say, like, the norm necessarily, but what a lot of schools do is they still do hire a DJ to come in and they play and they have the light show and everything. And when you hire a live band to do that, like, it's going to be a significantly different experience. And the only song that I remember that we played at that particular gig that was like a good, like, new at the time dance tune had to be Maroon 5, Sunday Morning, right?
Oh yeah, we did that one.
I think we did This Love as well, but wasn't nearly as good. But yeah, I think Sunday Morning was the. There you go. And of course, finding somebody who can sing that. It can be rather challenging.
Well, and we had a decent singer, but he got sick. Mm-hmm. He bailed. You remember that?
Yeah.
He didn't even do the gig.
Yeah, maybe I do remember that.
Maybe it was that Modelo Light.
Yeah, maybe it was the Modelo Light, I was going to say. You know, it was...
Maybe.
I think, too, at that particular gig, I think our buddy Ben was playing with us.
Yeah.
Who kind of played with us on and off for a long time. I think a guy that I went to school with named Aaron... was playing bass with
us. Oh, did he play bass on that gig?
At that particular time, because I think another guy, Patrick, had moved on to doing some other stuff at that point. So it was funny, you know, it was always kind of you and me, and Ben was kind of on and off throughout, you know, like a 7 or 8 year span. But
right.
We always had like different people kind of coming
Rotating and going around.
Yeah. And I think that like, it helps you be a better player when you have to play with a bunch of different people for little short bursts. Like, you obviously want that continuity, but at the same time, like, having people come in who have different styles and, you know, we're learning at different speeds and stuff makes you a better overall player. It kind of makes you appreciate it a little bit more.
Yeah, totally, totally. And you know, you just get better at listening.
Yeah.
You can get in a rut if you got the same guys all the time, unless you got some guys who are just really great at listening.
Right.
And then... yeah, kind of evolve together and have the kind of chemistry that you're talking about with your co-host.
Yep,
and that's exactly. A cool feeling, man. When you know what somebody else is going to do musically, or you know that you're having a little musical conversation that nobody else is even aware of, but there's a little back and forth and complimentary rhythms or melodies or whatever, little things going on. Yeah, that's fun. That's fun.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, again, kind of going back to, like, when we first started playing, right? We always used to practice in my parents' basement. And it's funny that...
God bless them.
I know, right? Because over the years, like, you know, I mean, we played together for, like, 7 or 8 years. And then, you know, I kind of continued on after you moved to the West Coast. And, like, from where we were, like, when we were all in high school to now, like, that 12-year span, my mom the other day was like, man, you guys have gotten, like, so much better as you've gone along. You know, just... One of the biggest things, like, for me, so I played drums for, you know, in the bands always that I've played in.
Uh-huh.
And as you mentioned, like, that, you know, being able to listen to other people, I think back to, like, when I was in high school, right? Like, starting off, I was a banger, man. I tried to hit these things as hard as what I possibly could, you know, loud, splashy, just off the wall. And then my senior year, my junior year, I started playing with one of the jazz choirs at our high school. And really, when you start playing with a singer for the first time, you have to dial it way, way back.
Right, right.
But then as you go along, you start playing in bands. And I remember when we first started playing, it was like distortion on everything. And
yep.
Like everybody wanted like the half stacks or the full stack guitar amps. And,
oh, yeah.
You know,
Ben had that Marshall.
Yep. I was playing drums, and it was how many pieces can I fit into the kit, you know? Like,
yeah, yeah.
Extra drums and as many cymbals as what I possibly could. And then like the evolution has been, everything has gotten like quieter and more musical. And now when I go and play gigs, I play like a small 4-piece kit with a ride cymbal, a hi-hat, and one crash.
Yep. Yep.
And that's it.
What else do you need?
Nothing. Yeah. I mean, nothing really. I mean, now obviously if you're playing more complex tunes, or if you're, you know, into, you know, metal, what has a lot of speed in it or something like that, you're going to, you know, add more pieces to fill out your sound. But yeah, I think it's funny. Like, you go from being as loud and obnoxious and like the biggest center of attention that you possibly can to now, like, I intentionally like try and play more quiet than I think I need to, because it's kind of that listening to everybody else in the band and making sure that every little nuance and bit is heard. And as you know, especially playing with singers too, like really, if you're, you know, you have somebody who's singing something, you want that to be sort of the centerpiece in a lot of
right. And that's what people should be keying into.
Right.
I mean, it gets creepy when there's someone who's just sitting there watching the drummer.
Had that happened before. Yeah. Very creepy.
Usually means they're a drummer, but
yeah, typically, yeah.
Yeah. You remember that time he disappeared after that gig in Iowa City?
Dude, I do. Yeah, that was crazy. Like, just to end up in a small town that didn't have cell phone service at all.
And I thought you were dead. I figured you were gone forever.
Just goner. Everybody, you know. And that's the fun part about playing, like thinking back on like all the band stuff, man. Like I'm sure there were a lot of times where, you know, we ended up losing money playing gigs because we wouldn't make enough to cover like the cost of transporting the equipment and stuff.
Right, the bar tab. But,
yeah, yeah. But dude, just the fun memories, dude, like that.
The memories, man. I don't, when did you even show up? You were
the
gone
next morning.
I know, the next morning. And where were you?
Yeah, it was... Well, what happened was is that I was in school at Drake at the time, and you were at Iowa.
Right.
And I came over with a couple of people from Drake who lived just a little bit north of Cedar Rapids in a town up there. So what the deal
north
was—
North of Cedar Rapids?
Yeah, it was north of Cedar Rapids. It was a small town. I think it was Albernett was the name of the town, actually. And so basically, we got done playing the gig— I don't even know where you or Ben were at in all of this, but these two wanted to go stay at her parents' house up in this little small town. And of course, you know, after we got done, I was in a good mood, shall we say. And so
we were well taken care of. That must have been after a gig at Etc.
It was, yeah, it was. And so we kind of packed up all of our stuff, you know, put it in the cars or whatever, and knew it was going to make it home safe. And so, I got in the car with them, and they're like, "Hey, we're gonna go to, you know, to her house. You want to come with us?" And I was like, "Oh yeah, sure." I didn't know where it was. Like, I thought, you know, she said she lived near Iowa City, so I thought, "Oh man, she lives like in the suburbs, or she lives, you know, like maybe even in Cedar Rapids." But no, it was like 90 minutes away.
Oh my god!
So, and then when we got up there, I was like, I fell asleep in the car. I was just sitting in the back seat by myself, and so I fell asleep, and I woke up, and I was like, "Man, are we still driving?" And I looked down at my cell phone. And saw what time it was, and I was like, "Oh man, like we've been in the car for like an hour." And she's like, "Yeah, we're about 20 minutes away." And I'm thinking, 20 more minutes away? And so when we got north of Cedar Rapids a ways, I again was kind of sitting there thinking, man, I should probably let somebody know like what's going on. And so I realized at that point it was too late. Like my cell phone didn't have service anymore. And she's like, "Well, it's a small town, like, you know, sorry."
We don't use cell phones there. And you know what, that was probably back like in 2006, service wasn't quite like what it is now.
Oh, yeah, I mean, yeah. I mean, today, you get cell phone service like anywhere that you're near a highway, right?
Right,
I mean,
right.
You're going to be fine. But yeah, no, it was 2005, 2006 probably. Yeah. I mean, it was – and so, yeah, anyway, we got to her house and like her whole family was there. It was – they were all really, really nice. I mean, and so, yeah, we sat in her hot tub and she had a pool in her backyard and hung out with her brother for a little while and then – woke up the next morning, is like, "So are we going to, like, you know, head back at some point?" Her mom and dad, like, cooked us breakfast, which was really nice. I mean, man. You know, they were, she must have told them that we were, like, coming. She's like,
"Oh,
they were prepared." Because, yeah, I mean, so they were obviously prepared for us.
Was this girl trying to wife you?
Yeah, no, I don't know, man. I have no idea. But,
sounds like a setup. It's just up the road. And then you fell asleep. You're probably dosed, man.
Yeah, it's like one of those creepy like things they make movies out of. It's like, you know, her and her friend like
welcome to Albernett.
It wasn't new. Like honestly, it wasn't like creepy or weird or anything. I just felt bad because I'm sure you and I think our friend Jake was involved in this too. Like I'm sure you guys were like, "Where's Joe? He's gone.
I thought the story was a lot kinkier than what you just related to me. I thought it was, you know, something else going on there.
No,
but
I wish it was more exciting.
I could see why you would lead us to believe that. You said, "Yeah, guys, whatever. I just went and hung out in a hot tub with these girls."
This hot tub party that was 90 minutes away from where everybody was at.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
if you've ever been to Iowa City, if you're looking for that kind of thing, man, you don't need to drive 90 minutes for that.
No,
right?
No, no. In 90 minutes, you're back in Des Moines.
Yeah. Right. Could have just gone home that night, but
you could have gotten to Chicago and back.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, those were some of those gigs in Iowa City that we played, man. Like, thinking back.
Remember the Union?
Yes.
Awesome gig.
Well, it was a huge gig because we had played in that Battle of the Bands, right?
Right.
We finished like dead last, I think. I mean, we didn't necessarily, it was okay. So, but truthfully, it was four bands. They were all really, really good. I mean,
yeah,
they were all
that's
really, really talented. Like the group that won it was called a New Beat Society.
Oh, did they win
the name of that group?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think so. And they had a great lead female singer, big, powerful soul voice. They had a horn section.
Yeah.
Some really, really good players. I mean, you played with Justin and Drew for a while afterwards, didn't you?
Drew wasn't in New Beat.
Oh, he wasn't? Okay.
No, but Justin was, yeah.
But anyway, regardless, you know, I had no, like, quills, you and I never did, for going and asking for something. So we went afterwards, and the Battle of the Bands prize, by the way, was you got a gig at the Union, which is this was I don't think it's there anymore.
Yeah,
it was this. Oh, is it still there?
Yeah, it's still there. So as far as I know,
it's this giant room. I mean, just giant bar.
Yeah,
that is just. I mean, it's dumpy. It's built essentially for like as many college kids you can pack in there.
Yep.
Most of the time, I think they do mainly just they have a DJ playing dance music.
Yeah.
So it's just it's all just like bodies crammed together. But anyway, you and I just went up to the guy afterwards, like, hey, we didn't win, but, like, could we get a gig here someday? And he was like, oh, sure.
Whatever. How many people did you bring?
A ton. Yeah. I was like, oh, can you bring some people? And I'm kind of thinking to myself, yeah, we can bring some people, but this place is packed, like, every night of the week anyway. Like,
yeah,
if you put
us
in here on a Friday or Saturday night, like...
It's going to be good. But we played in that back room, which they don't always have open. And we had... Didn't we have Minus Six open?
We did. Yep.
Yeah. And
they
had a pretty good crew, too. They brought some good people. They were a good band.
Yeah, they were. I thought that they had really cool instrumentation. Like, because it was drums, bass, a saxophone, and piano, right?
Yeah, yeah.
They had no guitars.
They were like OAR without guitars.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
But Kevin, the guy who played piano, he was a good songwriter. He had some good... He had some good tunes.
He did. He had some good tunes. He had a great voice, too.
People love a good piano player, man. They like Elton John. They like Billy Joel. They love that. If you're a good guitar player, you're kind of on the fringe, you know? You're like Slash or something.
Yeah, right.
You know? But
nobody really loves good drummers, so, I mean...
Gosh, yeah. Who's the most famous drummer, do you think? Ringo?
Well, depends if you're asking...
Phil Collins?
Music fan, or if you're asking a
No, I'm
a
just
drummer.
Talking about general pop. Pop music.
Most famous drummer, yeah, probably Ringo Starr.
Yeah.
I mean, guys like Steve Gadd have played with some really, really good...
Yeah, but nobody knows Steve Gadd.
Nobody knows
you
who
and
he
I
is.
Do. But you ask someone on the street who's Steve Gadd, a very small handful of people will be able to tell you.
The guy who played for Dave Matthews Band was really popular
Carter Beauford.
Yep, Carter Beauford. He was another one.
Phil Collins.
Again, Phil Collins, yeah.
But he does something else. He's not famous for his drumming.
Don Henley.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's Don Henley.
But again, famous more for... I mean, most people know that Don Henley is a part of the Eagles and obviously had a solo career, but most people probably don't realize that he was the drummer for the Eagles.
Exactly.
Trying to think who else. Ah, I've got a name for you.
Okay.
Tommy Lee. Famous for a much different reason, but most people after the Pamela Anderson thing probably realized that he was the drummer for Motley Crue. So
I think you're right. Charlie Watts? Nah. Dude, that guy's old. I saw the Rolling Stones a couple years ago, and he was like 70.
But the problem with that is when you think the Rolling Stones, like he's... Like the third or fourth guy that you think of. Like
everybody knows
Mick Jagger, everybody knows Keith Richards. That's a good question. I would say probably Tommy Lee or Ringo Starr are the two names that most people are gonna know. Phil Collins for the singing, obviously. Now, from a drummer's perspective, okay, yeah. So from, like, people who know drummers, like, my personal favorite, and the guy that I kind of tried, like, over the years to a certain degree to, like, try and get the same sound and, like, the same style as Chad Sexton from 311.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
I actually had a chance to hang out with him this last year for a little while. What? Yeah, they're from Omaha.
Yeah.
And so they came back for their anniversary show. Uh-huh. And we had them actually got to interview them on our radio show about, you know, coming back. They had 311 here has a craft beer that they collaborated with the brewery with to make. So, yeah, we had them on to talk about all of that. And then they had a little meet and greet before. And so we just kind of went and hung out with him for a little bit. And then actually my co-host, Nick, one of his best friends, is the drum tech for 311.
Oh, nice.
So we got to go behind the scenes and see all the gear and stuff that they use and set up. Man, like, I didn't count how many pieces he had, but it's in the 20s for sure. Man. He's got just a massive, massive kit that he plays on.
You know when it's okay to have a massive drum kit?
When you're that good?
Well, when you're that good, but when you don't have to set it up and tear it down yourself.
That's also very true. That's also very true.
That's when the kits get bigger. when you start having a drum tech.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that and when you have like a semi truck to put it all in, so you don't have to try and jam it like in the backseat of your car.
Exactly. Oh man.
But I'm trying to think other drummers that would be like Dave Weckl.
Dave Weckl. Would
be a guy. Steve Gadd. Jack DeJohnette played a lot of, you know, the 70s and 80s jazz stuff. The guy from Tower of Power, Dave.
Oh, Garibaldi.
Yeah, Dave Garibaldi. Basically, anybody that has their own drumsticks. Oh, there I know another go. One that we forgot. Most famous. What about Travis Barker?
Oh, yeah.
Blink 182.
Good point. Everybody knows him. Everybody knows Travis Barker. Apparently, he's a firecracker, man.
Here's another one, too. Buddy Rich.
Yep, Buddy Rich. You know, he popped into my head. I wasn't sure how many people would know of him.
I think the older crowd. Yeah. I mean, if you're listen jazz. Yeah, jazz or big band stuff. I mean, he was obviously a band leader.
Right.
So he would be one that most people would know, I would think. Again, if you were, you know, it's kind of a generational thing.
He played for a short time with Frank Sinatra, right? They were singing for the same band, or not singing, he wasn't singing, but they were in the same band. Maybe the, not Artie Shaw, but I forget which big band, but that was two big egos.
yeah, Buddy Rich, again, I've never met him. It's all, you know, what I've read and what I've heard. Apparently was like the biggest jerk in the world.
Yeah.
Like, it was, like, everything was absolutely had to be perfect. It was like he was a big time perfectionist, and he would, like, apparently after gigs he would go like on the bus and he would have no qualms like just firing somebody on the spot, just like, man. Yeah, you messed that up, goodbye, just see you later. So
I don't think I'd like a situation like that, man. I mean, yeah, making music is good, like, and making good music feels awesome, but you know, having some spontaneity is Or I guess some room. But then again, that's a totally different style of music than what I've ever... I mean, I've played in big bands, but...
Yeah, I think too, it's... You know, like, for me at least, I just play music for, like, personal fulfillment and for fun and enjoyment. But I think if you get to, you know, a certain level and you have that, like, really strong type A personality, if you're, like, making your living doing that, if that's, like, your livelihood and you feel like somebody else is holding it back, maybe... I personally don't think I would... I would act like that, but I'm sure for some people, like, the pressure and the tension really gets to him.
Yeah, maybe. Or maybe he just gets off on being a jerk.
Well, that's possible, too, I guess.
I guess.
I'm trying to come up with, like, this explanation and defend somebody for acting like that, but you're probably right.
I mean,
it could just be that he's a jerk.
We didn't have psychologists back then. That was a real new discipline. Probably wasn't a lot of therapy and anger management. That Buddy Rich was... performing at the age of 2, you know, so he didn't really have a normal childhood. He was a vaudeville performer playing snare drum and stuff. He saw the evolution of the drum set.
Yeah.
You know, kind of came.
Yeah.
Up with that.
And, you know, to go from, you know, you can find some, you know, pictures of him playing when he was a little kid to when he was, you know, band leader. I mean, I'm trying to think, there haven't been, at least that are the big well-known ones. Man, I'm trying to think, like, I mean, Buddy Rich, and then
Gene Krupa was pretty
Gene
big.
Krupa, I was going to say, is the only other name that I can really come up with. It played
Mel,
with a lot of those
Mel
guys.
Torme.
Yeah?
Yeah. He was a drummer kind of in that era through them. kind of well known. He was also a band leader.
I think Gene Krupa, I mean, wasn't really much of a band leader, but he played with the famous one is what? Benny Goodman, Sing Sing Sing, I want to say.
Did he play on that?
I think so. I think that's him on that one. Yep.
Yeah, probably. Probably. If not on the recording, then at some point they played it together.
I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. Hey, when are we going to get you back out to California?
Dude, I don't know. I hope soon. Like this, I know you and I are going to meet up in a neutral location. So
there
you
go.
In
Las Vegas.
Yeah, I was going to say the neutral site of all neutral sites, right? But man, yeah, we had some good times last year out in Cali. What was that, May last year, I want to say, that we
was
were
Is that when
there?
You came? Has it already been almost a year? Well, I guess it's,
February. So it's been a bit, but yeah, that was fun, man. Renting that cabin up in, we were in Sonoma County, right?
I want to say. Yeah, we were in Sebastopol, which I believe is Sonoma. Yeah, that was a good little spot, huh?
Yeah, it was. It was. I mean, there were things like anytime you do those vacation rental things, I'm sure that there are some things that are great about each one and some things that were, you know, that you would want to change the next time. But yeah, it was a cool little spot, nice little secluded area. It was just like some guy's house. I mean, you know.
Yeah, yeah. But neighbors weren't too close. We could walk around without clothes on. That was cool.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
Just kidding, people. Relax. It wasn't that kind of party.
It was not a no pants party.
Oh God.
So what do you got coming up, man? What are you doing playing wise these days?
Man, I'm just I'm teaching a ton, and I built a website for music therapists to learn guitar, and that's growing, which is cool. What's cool about that is that, I mean, I've been teaching this stuff for so many years now that it's super easy to teach, but I've also recorded almost everything at some point. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just putting those videos. Some of the videos are like 3-4 years old, but I'm just putting all those videos in this like membership site, basically, or subscription based site, and teaching that way. And then I am a college professor. I'm an adjunct faculty. I don't get to say professor, but I'll take it.
I call you a professor. You're a college teacher. I mean,
I'm only making my friends and family call me Professor Matt.
Fair enough.
Yeah, but my students are super cool. They range in age from like, I don't know, they're kind of all over. So they're not like traditional undergrads. So most of them have had one or two careers already, and now they're getting into music therapy. So, and I'm, again, teaching music skills.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you still playing the that blue Parker that you had?
Dude, I'm trying to sell it.
Are you really?
Yeah, I'm trying to sell it. I've been putting it up on Craigslist. I still got the red one. And that is like my go-to. You know what? The blue one doesn't fit my hands that well.
Is it is it a synthetic fretboard on that one?
Yeah, yeah, it's like a carbonite something or other neck.
Some sort of it's not wood.
Right, it's not wood. It's not what the body is.
Right.
I want to say it's mahogany, but
yeah, that Parker, is it a Hornet or is it a P-38, that red one?
The red one is a PM-20, I believe.
A PM-20.
And okay. it's yeah, something like that. It was made overseas.
Right.
Yeah. It was made in Japan, I think, but or Korea. I don't know, but it's a great little guitar. It's got an ebony fretboard. I love that. I love that ebony.
Yeah, you've had that. I mean, since we were playing together, I think is when you got it. I mean, so that's 10 years ago, at least. And I know you've tried like a couple other ones, and it seems like other ones that you've had, you haven't.
Yeah, I've had that Strat, which you have now, right?
I do, yeah. I have it. It's kind of a white, like a pearly white
classic
color.
Classic white. That was in my Jimi Hendrix phase. It was like, I'm going to get a Strat and sound like Jimmy. The thing is, his hands were huge, and that neck is a little bit big for my hands.
Yeah, actually, I don't play on that guitar a whole lot. I still have it, but I don't get it out a whole lot. I actually, like I said, I've got just an acoustic electric. It's one of the Ovations ones. That I just play on just, you know, kind of around the house for fun. But the two electrics that I have, I've got that Strat that I bought from you. And then the one that I play on when I decide to plug it in is Mexican American Tele. It's the Tex-Mex version. So it's got it's got the Telecaster pickups in it, but then it also has a single Strat pickup in the middle. So it's kind of I think you had it for a short time.
It's got a Sunburst finish?
Yeah.
Yep. I did have that for a little bit. And then, so you're a Fender guy. You got all
Yeah,
Fenders.
Although I will admit, the thought has crossed my mind somewhere down the road to take the two that I have and just trade it in for one.
Yeah.
My favorite ones that I have ever played, to be honest with you, are probably the Gibsons.
Ah.
Because the neck to me feels like it's more narrow. Maybe that's just in my head, but
no, I think you're right.
Yeah, the Gibson Les Pauls to me feel like they have the best feel for my hands, because I'm kind of like you. I don't have my hands aren't real big, so it's, you know, smaller sometimes better when it comes to the neck on a guitar.
We just both admitted that we have small hands on a
yep.
show. I don't think I can publish this.
Small gloves. It's okay.
Hey. oh God.
Yeah, that's been one of my favorites. I've also, you know, just goofing around, have tried out Paul Reed Smith stuff before.
Dude, they got some nice guitars, man.
They really do.
Playing nice.
The problem with Paul Reed Smith stuff is that it gets really, really expensive, really, really fast.
Sure does.
And the lower end stuff, a few years ago, and you know, this is one of the things that, kind of as a quick little tangent. So a few years back, when I was in college, I wanted to upgrade from the kit that I had, my drum kit, to a Orange County Percussion,
mm-hmm.
which they're an all-custom drum maker. At least at the time, they were an all-custom drum maker. And so my snare drum I actually bought, it's a 20-ply vented OCP snare. It's beautiful. It's a nice baby blue stain with white powder coating on it. I mean, just a beautiful
drum.
And it sounds fat, man. It sounds awesome. But like after I bought it, like a year later, they started coming out with just like a bunch of stuff to sell, like a Guitar Center and stuff. Kind of like that, like that next like line down. You know, I mean, and
yeah.
for them, I'm sure it's a business thing. I mean,
well,
you know, they're,
yeah, for a long time, when you saw Orange County, you were like, oh
yeah.
man, that's a good drum. That's a good drum kit, because they only did custom order, right?
Yeah, and it was all handmade. I mean, it's made in California, so it's not from overseas or anything. And then I feel like Paul Reed Smith kind of did the same thing. It was like when you saw Paul Reed Smith, you're like, man, that's a piece. And now they have like two or three, you know, kind of entry level models, which are still nice.
Yeah, the SE.
Guitars.
Yeah, yeah. Have you played on some of those?
I have not. No,
they're killer.
I've only played on the.
They're killer
the
little guitars. They're nice.
Are they?
Yeah, yeah. They're making good stuff. You know, that's just kind of the biz. You know, I guess some people do stay. You either have to stay like pretty small boutique, or you got to go mm-hmm. big. To stay
yep.
in business, you know?
Yeah, and unfortunately, you know, I guess if you're trying to go big making $10,000 drum kits, you probably have a pretty limited audience.
Yeah,
so.
you need to kind of, need a bigger audience. Things are finally lining up to go the way that I plan, like my band. Things are finally shaping up to go the way that I wanted them to. Yeah, it's true. The only thing that's left is just to get my filthy hands on you. So,
take a chance on me.
If you want love that never dies,
take a chance on me.
Gonna dry your crying eyes.
What was the name of the girl who loved that song in Iowa City that you hung out with?
Well, they're probably Kirsten or Jenna.
I can't remember who it was, but there was somebody that you were friends with who just loved that tune, man.
Man, it was probably them, because the other day Brian Webster texted me and he goes, he texted a bunch of people. Let me see if I can find it. He says, hey, is Critical Hour playing FAC at et cetera? and one of them, it was either Kirsten or Jenna, said, oh no, it was Nick Burns, said, play Take a Chance on Me.
And, that's funny.
And Kirsten goes, I'll be the merch girl. And, yep.
Dude, we had some good tunes that you wrote back in the day. Like, really, when I think back, like, for the age that we were, really, I mean, especially you, like, you were in high school and you wrote a lot of that stuff.
That's
and, like,
true.
It was catchy. Like, we had that one. White Flag was another one that we played for a long time.
We did play that one for a long time, man. I'm going to have to throw some of those in at the end of this show.
Yeah. Not I was another one.
Yeah, you know what? That one wasn't bad.
Yeah.
13 Black Roses.
Yep.
Remember that?
Yep.
Holy smokes. Oh, God. What was that other one? I'm going to do it in a different key because I got an acoustic guitar.
Yeah. Paradise, right?
Is that that one?
Yep.
Oh, no, this wasn't Paradise. This is Spell.
Oh, yeah.
How did that
yeah.
one go? Man, I don't even remember how that one go. You put a spell on me, and others probably. Your method's shameful and wrong. I don't remember the hook though.
I don't remember the hook either at all, to be honest with you.
Must have been a good one.
Must have been awesome, very memorable. Yeah, we kind of did that. Had that same like, I don't want to call it like a Caribbean beat, but kind of that offbeat feel with a lot of the songs.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, we were trying to be like kind of Sublime-y, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, a little Sublime-y, 311-y.
Yeah, oh, yeah, totally. This is getting kind of heavy.
You know, that song, I remember we were practicing it one time or playing it for your dad. We used to do that every now and again. And I remember after we got done, the only thing I remember him saying was, "You guys must not play for a lot of people that like to dance, huh?" Because it changes to, it like, the feel of the song. It goes like double time for some of it. Then it goes into this like kind of like swing thing. Like, yeah, right. You guys must not play for many people who like to dance.
Yeah, that's right. Because the chorus was like, it was kind of a heavy punky thing, right?
Yep. And then it went into that kind of swing. You know, things are getting kind of heavy.
How did the verse go, man?
Boy, I don't remember. You know, that is on that that CD that I found of us playing at the Yacht Club. That one is on there.
Okay, we gotta listen. Oh, is it painful? It's probably painful.
Well, there were, okay, look, here's the thing. Like, no, it's not really that painful, but I mean, it was basically just, you know, somebody plugged into the soundboard and taken the...
Right.
It's not mixed properly. It's not really mastered or anything. It's just kind of there, so...
Raw.
Yeah.
And then we had that She Gone.
Yep.
I've been trying to remember that one. That was a good one.
Again, another one that had kind of that swing.
She Gone. My voice is too low this morning. Dental flossing, lip gloss tubes, that's all that's left of her. Walked out the door about an hour before and I'm starting to get concerned. And I can't fight, can't lie to myself and wait for her to call. Give it up, boy, give it up, you just weren't good enough. Now she gone, there it is.
There it is.
She gone. Just a shadow walking round and round, this empty loft on the edge of town. I lost my girl, and I don't know how. Morning voice, I may have had some beers last night.
Yeah, those back-to-back gigs never seem to go very well.
Yeah, right? Ooh.
The Friday nights into Saturdays. Because, of course, you know, 23-year-old kids don't really have the self-controlled to not party it up after the
especially when
Friday.
it's free, you know, and everybody wants yeah. that's everybody wants to buy you a drink. Oh God, how many times did people just bring up terrible shots of whiskey? It's like, oh, thanks, man, put it down there next to the others.
Yep, set it over there with the other ones.
We'll get to it, I promise.
Yep.
Nope. But you know who was always really good about that is Etc. would like hook us up.
Oh man, it was definitely, Yeah, there were nights where I think that the amount of booze consumed would have easily wiped out every cent we made from the gig.
If we were charged for it, but we also would pack that place.
Yeah.
Lots of people would come.
Well, and the bar wasn't really that big. I mean,
No, no, no.
it was not really conducive to having a lot of live music in it. But man, I'll tell you what, it was. I'm sure that like it was loud where we were at. I can't even imagine out in front of us.
Oh, God. Yeah, man. But those are fun times. Oh, fun times. We had that back, it was all backlit and all
Yeah,
those
it was like kind
funky
of
colors.
a cheesy like LED dance floor
Yeah.
type thing,
You know what that
more or
place is
less.
now?
Is it like a Irish bar?
It was that for a little bit, and then it became third base.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they moved from that huge spot that they were in. And I don't know what's there
Yeah.
anymore. That was
Because
another place.
third base was the old field house, right? Or was the field house and then three bag or three or third
Third
base, whatever it
base. Third
was.
base, yeah. But that's what that is now. Man. Hey, I better let you go here pretty soon. But thanks for coming on and chatting, man.
Anytime you want to talk, buddy, you just let me know. I'm
Oh, I
here.
know. You're good at it.
I do it for a living.
I know. Let me ask you a couple quick questions though. What are you listening to right now?
What am I listening to right now? I am listening to Keith Urban is always a staple for me. Love the way that he plays. Been listening to some old school 311 as of recent.
Nice.
I've also gotten into some 90s country recently, like some Vince Gill and Clint Black and stuff
There
like
you
that.
go.
Of the new stuff out there right now, boy, actually, it sounds kind of cliche, but I know that Ed Sheeran's latest CD came out, what, like 2 years ago? I mean, or a year ago at least, but
Something
I
like
never
that,
was really
yeah.
a fan, but I've started listening to a little bit of that recently too, and have been digging that too. So,
Nice.
Jeremiah, anytime he has
There we
anything come
go.
out. I'm all over the place, man. I got like country, I got a little rap, a little
Yep.
90s country, a little pop. So I'm all over the place.
Yeah. Nice, man. Well, we'll definitely pump up the Jeremiah when we're in Las Vegas.
You
Not
know it,
that
man.
things are gonna get too crazy. We're gonna be working pretty much the whole time, but I'm sure we'll get
We'll
a
find our
night.
moments.
We'll find our
Yep.
moments. We're gonna be there over St. Pat's, man.
That'll be a moment.
That'll be a moment. Yeah, that'll be probably pretty good people watching.
I would have to imagine so.
Yeah. Also, so in the last couple podcasts I've asked this question. It's kind of been interesting and cool to hear the answers. Who do you want to publicly thank?
Who do I want to publicly thank? Like for something music related or really
No,
just anything?
anything.
Boy, that's a good question. I don't know, probably my wife for putting up with all of my crap all the time. So I don't know where I would be without her. So probably my wife. Boy, that's a good question. That's a good one. I got a really good group of friends. You, our buddy Jake. We're all three pretty tight, and when things get rough, we always kind of circle back together, even though we kind of live all over the place now. So I guess I would thank you and our buddy Jake for everything that they've done. So my mom and dad
Of
for
course,
letting us
yeah.
practice in their basement for
Yeah,
as
I want to
long.
thank your mom and dad too. That took a lot of patience.
Yeah, so those are some good ones, I suppose.
Yeah, all right. Cool, man. Anything you want to promote or how can people find you?
We are online anywhere in the world at AM590ESPNRadio.com, or you can find us on the ESPN Radio app.
Cool.
That's it.
Joe Quinn, everybody.
Thanks for having me on, Matt.
Yeah, dude. I feel like I said dude and man a lot in this podcast, but that's because it's like we're hanging out and
Yep.
it's how we talk.
It's
Sorry
all
about it.
good.
Okay,
Just a conversation.
I'm stopping the recorder. Okay, so huge thanks to Joe for coming on the show. And to close, I will keep on talking in a sing-songy voice because I'm gonna play a couple more old school Critical Hour songs for you. I think this is circa 2004. Okay, see you next time.
Somewhere in the stars. take my car, but I'll let you drive half the way. Choice isn't hard. Let me take you away from this world. Pack your Astro suit and a martini. Nothing can hold you down. There isn't any gravity. We'll take the top off of the moon buggy, and we'll just ride around and enjoy the scenery.
If you will let me take you to a new world or three, I will show you how to let your spirit free, and you will return with a new philosophy. Just open up your heart and let yourself be free.
Ourselves into a blanket of stars. Let me hum a tune in the key of our cosmic mood. It's you and me and my brew on our backs gazing at the earth. So pack your astro suit and a martini. Nothing can hold you down. There isn't any gravity. Take the top off of the moon buggy, and we'll just ride around it. Nothing can hold you down, there isn't any gravity. We'll take the top off of the moon buggy, and we'll just ride around it.
Take a little break from my guitar.
You got your blonde hair, your blue eyes. I see you, my heart cries. I catch you look across the way. You steal a little glance from me, so I say, what's it gonna take to get you home? Girl, you're gonna stay with me all night long. How can I convince you that there's nothing wrong with you and me? I'll fix you a drink and sing you a song. Anything's better than being alone. What's it gonna take to get you home with me? Yeah. So we take off, driving deep into the night. And if you ask me, you know I'm gonna treat you right. We get home to my place, I feel my heart race. You look at me, you give a little smile. You pull me in close, we kiss and I say, what's it gonna take to get you home? Girl, you're gonna stay with me all night long. How can I convince you that there's nothing wrong with you and me? I'll fix you a drink and sing you a song. Anything's better than being alone. What's it gonna take to get you home with me? It's a cold night, I'm lying here alone in my bed. As I'm falling asleep, you call me on the phone. I can't get you out of my head, so come on. What's it gonna take to get you home? Girl, you're gonna stay with me all night long. How can I convince you that there's nothing wrong with you and me? I'll fix you a drink and sing you a song. Anything's better than being alone. What's it gonna take to get you home with me? Yeah. Gonna take to get you home. Girl, I'm gonna rock you all night long. How can I convince you that there's nothing wrong with you and me? I'll fix you a drink and sing you a song. Not gonna stop till I hear you moan. What's it gonna take to get you home?